Om Vishnupada Krishna Prasta Utalay Shimati Bhakti Varanta Swami Dinamane Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharne Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pasta Jyadesha Tarni Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasadi Gauravakta Vrindaki Shri Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Let us count the trivia sacrifice soon to be able to talk. Padidana Bhavani, the Ovation, the Ovation. Oh, nice to be here with you all. For some questions and answers. We already have a few questions here, but the questions sheet should be circulating around somewhere. Oh, there it is. Please feel free to write down any question you may have, and we will do our best to answer shortly. And what is the subject actually? Material?
How Maya deludes everyone.
Maya is intense. There's a t-shirt with a little, you know, slogan on it. Declare war on Maya. Maya means the illusions of this material world, the illusory nature of this material world. So, yes, declare war on Maya. But that would be something like what? Say, I don't know, Zimbabwe declares war on the United States. Preemptive strike all the way from Harare. But it would be a lot worse than that. Mr. Mugabe, I don't think he'd do so well. But us against Maya, ooh, talk about total defeat, devastation. Oh my gosh, it would really be too much. So we cannot really, I mean, we could try, but we cannot really effectively declare war on Maya and actually wage a war with Maya, because Maya is very great and we are very small. We're extremely small. So, but Krishna's even greater. Actually, Krishna is even much greater than Maya. In fact, Krishna is greater than Maya, more than Maya is greater than us. So, if we have the protection of Krishna, then we can overcome Maya. Without the protection of Krishna, it's pathetic, really. There's nothing much that we can do. So in this world, yes, in this world, everyone is in illusion under the influence of Maya, the material energy of the Lord, and the presiding deity of the material energy, who is known as Maya Devi sometimes, the goddess of Maya, or she's known, of course, as Durga. But people don't understand Durga. They don't even really understand what it means, frankly. Dur in Sanskrit and in Hindi. For those of you who may understand some Hindi, you would know Dur, this word. Bahut Dur Hai. It's a long way. And it's a very difficult way. Yeah. So Durga in Sanskrit, ga, is the dhatu, means the root, for the verb to go. Durga. Very difficult to go. Long way to go. Yeah, when you're in this material world, it's like that. It's very difficult. It's very difficult to get out, and not to speak of being difficult to get out, it's very difficult to be successful on the material level in meaningful ways. We may live maximum 100 years. My mother lived to be 91. But frankly, by the time she was like 85 at the most, her life was effectively over. Because she was just incapable, physically and psychologically incapable. I would go visit my mother once a year. And she had a little flat in a retirement village in Auckland, New Zealand. And she would periodically, it means like every half hour, lose the keys. Lose the keys. Total trauma. Total disaster. Wow. And that was while I was there, and I could find the keys. What it must have been when I wasn't there. Gosh, I can't imagine. So, yeah. People may live 100 years, but by the time they're approaching 100, it's really questionable, at least in many cases, is their life worth living? It's just too much. It's too much for them. So anyway, people may live 100 years and try to achieve what they can in this material world. Try and make some money and acquire some possessions, some nice things, so to make you feel good. Nice big plasma TV so you can feel good. Watch the bold and the beautiful, bigger size and clearer picture. Yes. So life is very difficult within this material world for us. But still people are thinking, we need to work hard and achieve things and get things, and it's important. We have our goals. But Srila Prabhupada told one small story. There was a sage, a saintly person, wise man, who somehow he got the blessing. He would live as long as he had hairs on his body. And one hair would drop out, only one, every day of Brahma. And it's hair, you know, he was a hairy sage. So we're talking about lots of hairs and lots of days of Brahma. A long time. And one day of Brahma is 8,640,000,000 of our years. That's the daylight and the night time of Brahma. 8,640,000,000 years. So he had some followers, some admirers, people who associated with him and treated him reverentially. And one day they said to him, well, and the sage, he was just living under a tree. He was just sitting there, more or less outside. And the followers came to him one day and said, you know, you're sitting there, sometimes it's hot, sometimes it rains, sometimes it's cold, and you're just sitting there. Perhaps we should build you a house so you're more comfortable and protected. And you know what the sage said? The sage said, and Prabhupada told the story, that it's all right. You don't need to do that. I don't really need it. I'm only here temporarily. So you see, and we're here for maximum 100 years, or less, generally, 70 or 80 years is the average. Of course, in South Africa, the average is plus or minus 40 due to AIDS. What can you say? But yes, people are an illusion. People are an illusion that my life, oh, I have to get it together and get so many things and do so many things in my life. It's very important. But in our lives, it's almost like here today, gone tomorrow. If not here today, gone tomorrow, it's here today and gone in a few years. But people still, they're obsessed, really. They're obsessed with getting ahead and developing their lives materially. This is an illusion. Actually, we're all eternal spirit souls. We're all eternal spiritual persons. But we are within these temporary material bodies, which are like vehicles, but we accept them as being ourselves. We accept them as being ourselves. Even as devotees, many of you here, thank you, many of you here I know personally. Some of you I've known for many years. And I know so many of you are devotees and are practicing Krishna consciousness, chanting every day seriously, trying to maintain the moral standards like that. But tell me, just tell yourself, how many of us here, how many of us have actually realized that we are spiritual persons? I mean, how many of us have seen ourselves, the self? How many of us have directly seen the soul, which means us? Well, the answer to that question is none of us, really, have actually seen. Even though we've heard, yes, in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says so many things about this. And even though we accept it in an intellectual sense, or, you know, at heart, we accept it, yes, I'm spirit soul, that's what I am. And how many of us have perceived so far yet? No. And why? It is because of the influence of illusion, of Maya. But it's a very interesting situation. Even though we are influenced by Maya strongly right now, to the point that we have not actually perceived our spiritual natures tangibly, directly, objectively. But still, despite that, by the mercy of Krishna, we are carrying on in the process of devotional service. Isn't that interesting? Despite having not seen our spiritual nature due to the influence of illusion, but by Krishna's mercy, we still feel that impotence. let us continue. And even not just let us continue, but we feel enthusiastic. That is a wonderful thing. It's the right thing. We're going in the right direction. This is Krishna's mercy. This is Krishna's mercy. That despite the fact that we're still in a somewhat deluded condition, but still Krishna's so kind as to allow us and to help us to continue in devotional service. So, it's a very intriguing situation. I mean, talk about an enigmatic situation. It's just totally enigmatic. But the devotee does not feel it to be an enigmatic situation. Meaning a situation of doubt and question. The devotee, generally a devotee feels, yes, right, here we are, we're serving Krishna, chanting Hare Krishna, and it's very nice, and let's carry on and go further, move forward. That is the mercy of Krishna that he allows us. Otherwise, in terms of our own realization and capacities, we're in quite limited conditions right now. So Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita 13. What does Krishna say in 7:13? Give me the first word. 7:13. Daivi. Daivi Hiesha Gunamai. Mama Maya Dharachya. Mam Evaye Prapadyante. Mayam Etam Tarantite. Krishna says, this divine energy, material energy, this divine energy of mine is very difficult to overcome. But Mam Evaye Prapadyante, one who surrenders to me can easily cross beyond it. So the point is, the surrender to Krishna and then getting Krishna's help and protection to go beyond. Not that we just declare war on Maya. Watch out, Maya, here I come. Stand back. Good luck. Not just like that. But the point is the protection of Krishna, the mercy of Krishna. And Vishnath Chakravarti Thakur, one of our great acharyas, he says that when Krishna is reciting this verse to Arjuna there on the battlefield, Krishna says, Daryesha Gunamai Mama Maya Dharachya, that this divine energy, material energy, divine, is very difficult to overcome. But one who surrenders to me, Vishnath Chakravarti Thakur says, Krishna, with his pointing finger, points to his chest. One who surrenders to me, not me, I'm just dramatizing here. One who surrenders to me, Krishna, can easily go beyond it. Yeah. So, and we, in our little ways and not humble ways, we should try to chant very sincerely. Prabhupada would say, like a child crying out for the mother. We've all experienced that so many times. When a child just decides to cry out for the mother, just go for it. That's something, isn't it? Talk about wholehearted. So actually our position is like that. Does Vaishnav sometimes cry? He does. See, there's Vaishnav back there. This shirt, everyone, Vaishnava. See, there he is. He just did his first grains. He's 6 months and 3 weeks old. Jai Vaishnava. But I don't doubt sometimes when some situation arises. He screams. Because he feels. He feels, without my mother, I'm lost. I'm just gone. Everything is finished. So actually, for us, it is our situation. Of course, we have developed some sort of adult form of self-confidence, and we can deal with life and all that. That sort of idea. But actually our positions are we are extremely susceptible to the circumstances. And in due course, no matter how strong you are, physically, financially, or militarily, if you have your own army, no matter how strong you are, in due course, the body will die and there's nothing you can do. You can't buy your way out of it, talk your way out of it, force your way out of it, shoot your way out of it. That's it. Prabhupada said about Mahatma Gandhi, with all due respect to Mahatma Gandhi, Prabhupada said that even though Mahatma Gandhi was such a powerful man, so influential, and he remains to some degree even to this day, but when his time came, there was nothing he could do. Prabhupada said, death came and threw him away. Just threw him away. And he couldn't say, "Hi, Mahatma Gandhi, stand back." Death simply came and threw him away. So we should call out, we should try to chant, just like a child cries for their mother. Because that is actually our position. This is not just like a hype. Let's get excited about it. But this is actually our position. We are like motherless children, lost in the middle of nowhere, helpless, hopeless. Although we feel confident and, like that. So we should try to chant, crying out like a child for the mother. Chant to Krishna. So we have a few questions here. Let's try to answer some. What should be done to release the soul of its material bondage? Well, really, what should be done? I think the great majority of you could answer this as well as I can. But the basic idea is, what should be done to release the soul of its material bondage is, we should practice Krishna consciousness. We could say, we should chant. We should associate with devotees. They're all part of the process. There's an overall, overarching process in which these are all components within. And we should follow the process. We should follow the process. Of course, the main part of the process in Kali Yuga is to chant the holy names. Hari Ranam, Hari Ranam, Hari Ranam, Eva Kevalam. Kalo Nasyeva 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 Gatir Anyata. Where Lord Chaitanya was initiated by his spiritual master Ishwarapuri. He asked Ishwarapuri, "Now I'm initiated, what should I do? What are my duties now as an initiated devotee, committed devotee? What should I do?" And he suggested, Lord Chaitanya suggested, Are you stealing or aren't you? Watch out. See the cops come. Lord Chaitanya suggested to his spiritual master Ishvarapuri, he suggested, should I study Vedanta philosophy? Which basically means it's like intricate philosophy explaining how the soul is different from the body and how you can kind of conceptualize of that in different ways. So Lord Chaitanya suggested that. It wasn't a serious suggestion, but just it was a very popular thing to do. So Lord Chaitanya presented that so Ishvarapuri, the authority, could give a definitive rebuttal, really, of that idea, popular misunderstanding. So Ishvarapuri said, no, don't do that. But then he spoke this verse we just mentioned, Harirnam. Chant the holy names, chant the holy names, chant the holy names of Hari, Krishna. There's no other way, no other way, no other way to achieve the goal of pure love for Krishna, the goal of life in this age of Kali. So this is what Ishvarapuri told Lord Chaitanya. And so Lord Chaitanya said, okay, I'll do it. And he did. And as soon as he started, symptoms of ecstasy just started overpowering him. Tears started pouring from his eyes. And he was sometimes collapsing on the ground uncontrollably. In great ecstasy and love for Krishna, which just came on him like that as soon as he started chanting. Because Lord Chaitanya, when he chanted, his chanting was free of offenses. He was not chanting in any wrong way. He was chanting exactly right. And because he was chanting so right, the complete result came. The complete result came immediately. So if we chant like that, or to whatever degree we chant like that, to that degree, we will also feel how the wonderful experience of Krishna consciousness. But it's not easy in this Kali Yuga, it's not so easy. In fact, it's often difficult actually. We have many bad habits from before. There are many things we're attracted to. Even sometimes we become attracted to stupid things, isn't it? And we wonder, why am I attracted to this? What's wrong with me? Did that ever happen to you? There's a Hindi, extremely famous Hindi movie called Dilwale Dulhana Le Jayenge. We have touched a chord. So this one devotee in Bombay a couple of years ago was telling me he went to see the movie as a devotee. He's already a devotee, but somehow some relative wanted to go and see it. Something like that. So he went to see it. And he said he came out and he was thinking. And not even when he came out, but while he was sitting there watching it, he was thinking, what am I doing this for? Why? What is the point of this? Yeah. So we should follow the whole process and try to avoid the offenses. Try to chant attentively with focus. If we do, we will get an amazing experience. So wonderful. But we admit it's not easy. It's not easy. Once Prabhupada was giving a class, And he was emphasizing to the devotees, you should chant without offenses. Just focus completely like that, which is true. And Prabhupada saw the devotees, you know, hearing that, the devotees were a little like, we don't know if we can do that, Prabhupada. Prabhupada said, all right, at least 90% purely. And the devotees were, wow. And Prabhupada saw, they're not so confident. Prabhupada said, at least 80%. And still the devotees were just a little shaky. Prabhupada said, at least 75. And the devotees were still, we don't know. And then Srila Prabhupada said, all right, just stick with me. You just catch hold of my feet and I will take you there. I have the key for the back door. I have the key for the back door of the kingdom of God. You can sneak in the back way when Krishna's not watching. So what should be done is we should practice, we should follow the process, particularly the chanting. Yeah. We were discussing the other day, I was at the youth mela, we had a youth festival up near Fonderbale Park. You know, you might think Fonderbale Park is not the place to have a Hare Krishna festival. Fonderbale, Mamiya. But anyway, we did. And it was nice. It was very nice. And anyway, very nice festival. The devotees were chanting. And anyway, I'll come back to that. I'll come back to that. What is the significance, if any, of the third day, 11th day ceremony, or in some other belief system, the 16th day? Do these days have any significance? This is in regard to when people pass away in different, you know, there's the Hindi way, the Tamil way, and there's, I suppose, there's a Telugu way, and a Bengali way, and a Marathi way, and what, a Gujarati way, a UP way, an Oriya way. Maybe there's a Kerala way. You know, one thing I can say is that Hinduism, as practiced in South Africa, in many ways is deteriorated from the traditions. Yeah, in many ways. It's deteriorated. So what is the significance of doing these ceremonies as devotees? As devotees, what we do a ceremony, not even a ceremony in the ritualistic sense, but we have a Krishna conscious program on the third day. And it's not really like, so the person now died 3 days ago and now their situation is such that now it's the third day, therefore we should do something, or it's the best time to do something because it's the third day as opposed to the second or the fourth. It's not really so much like that. When the body dies, when the soul leaves the body, generally the soul goes on immediately. Immediately. to, if not its next destination, at least to be prepared for going into its next body. And the next body, well, what will that be? It depends on how the person's lived. They have to get trained up by the Yamadutas for the next body. If the next body is going to be very similar to the body they just left, then there's practically no training required. They can perhaps go immediately into the womb of the next mother. But if the body, the next body, is going to be very different, you know, they were human, now they're going to get some animal body, or even less than animal body, big difference. So they have to be trained, they have to be prepared. So when they enter that body, they are at home. And not like, you know, what am I doing in this body? So, different periods of time are required for preparation in terms of how different the next body is going to be from the body which the soul just left. So 3 days, 2 days, 11 days, 16 days, these types of ideas are not really very important. But it is the Vaishnava practice, the devotee practice, that on the third day a program is held to offer blessings to the departed person, to offer them blessings, to remember and appreciate the departed person, and for everyone to get together to pray to Krishna to help the departed person. So this is the Vaishnava practice after 3 days. And then it can be done every year. Some program can be done, gather the devotees, have some kirtan, speak from Bhagavad Gita, have prasadam like that. How can you prepare for death if you don't know when you're going to die? Do people have any idea of the day that they're going to die? I know, do you? Yeah. Well, it is said, there's a Vedic type of saying, that a non-devotee, a materialist, should live every day as if he is never going to die. A materialistic person who just wants to enjoy life, eat, drink and be merry, etc., should live every day as if they're never going to die. Because if sometimes they think, hey, I'm going to die, well, I'm going to die soon, they'll lose their enthusiasm for their enjoyment, which is what they want in life, and maybe they'll become depressed and anxious. And at least in their terms, they'll not be able to be successful. But the other side is that a devotee of the Lord, should live every day as if it is going to be his last. Because one day it will be. One day it will be. And that way you can be prepared. And the thing is, this is not like sort of a morbid idea, fatalistic idea, that, oh, I may die today. Oh no, I must be ready. Something like that. But living every day as if it's our last, being fixed in Krishna consciousness every day, is the way to be happy. If you're fixed in Krishna consciousness, chanting and hearing about the Lord, serving the Lord, then, which is the mood we need to be in when we actually die. So if we're in that mood all day, every day, we'll be extremely happy, very happy. And then the time of death will come, and it won't be a problem. Even very advanced devotees, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, one of our great acharyas, explains, very advanced devotees, sometimes they do not even notice that the body died. They don't even notice. But after a little while they realize, hey, where did my body go? It's gone. Oh, it must have died. So if we really progress in Krishna consciousness by focusing seriously, as if every moment were our last and we have to remember Krishna, be absorbed in Krishna consciousness, if we live every day like that, we'll be very happy, we'll make great advancement, and when the time of death does come, then death will not be a big challenge. Is there an innumerable number of souls, or is there a balance between death and birth? Somebody in Phoenix dies this afternoon, which I'm sure is happening, and someone in Chatsworth is being born. You see, one for one. How do you explain the increase in population? Yes, well, you know, as we mentioned a few minutes ago, some people when they die, they will go to different species. Some will go down, I'm afraid, into animal species. The human population is increasing. Certain other populations, like, I forget, I read not long ago, on this planet, every day, a certain number of species are becoming extinct. Every day. Because of human civilization. Congratulations, human beings. Yeah. So, human population's increasing, other populations are decreasing. Some living entities in the human form of life, then they take some lower birth. Some take a birth on another planet. Yeah. Some take birth on another planet, even. So it works like that. And Prabhupada, once a devotee, said to Srila Prabhupada, what will happen if everyone becomes Krishna conscious? If everyone becomes Krishna conscious, then everyone will go back to Godhead, to Goloka Vrindavan. What will happen to the human species here on earth? What will happen? Prabhupada said, yes, this is our goal. No more human species. And the devotee was a little taken aback. And Prabhupada said, but don't worry, there'll always be enough fools and rascals. So it's not that there's an increase or decrease in actual living entities in souls, but rather there's just shifting from different species to different species. Sometimes interplanetarily there's a shifting like this. Well, I don't quite understand this one. What are the repercussions of your death, if you're a devotee, on your family? What are the repercussions of your death, if you're a devotee, on your family? well what their repercussions should be, there's a thing, it's called, it's there in India or in the Vedic tradition, Smashan Vairagya. Smashan Vairagya. Vairagya means renunciation, detachment. And Smashan means at the crematorium. The renunciation a person feels at the crematorium when their relative is cremated. It happens often. They go there and they say, there's my relative, parent, family member, and here's the body in front of my eyes just being burnt. Here, of course, they put the body inside some type of oven, but otherwise, traditionally, the body's put on a fire, and the oldest son has to go and smash the skull. At least in some circles, this is how it's done. So when people see this, then they feel, wow, yeah, look at that. This person who was close to me for so many years, this is what it's all ended up with. This is what it's all ended up with. And so it becomes a stimulus that I shouldn't be so attached to this material world. I should really try for something higher. Higher consciousness, a higher goal in life. Krishna consciousness. And not just be materially attached to money, family, and worldly affairs. So when a family member, if you're a devotee, when a family member passes away, then you should pray to Krishna, please help my family member to come closer to you, maybe to go back to Godhead. Please help the person. But at the same time, you should remember, this is going to happen to me. This is going to happen to me. You know, sometimes we do funerals, and sometimes some of the old people at the funerals, they come and make bookings with our devotees for their funerals. We want you to do our funeral like this, my funeral like this, because it's nice. It's done very nicely. But yeah, when your family member passes away, pray to Krishna for them. And for yourself, try and take it as a learning experience. It's going to happen to me. It's not a matter of if, it's just a matter of when. So, let me prepare by really focusing on Krishna, chanting Hare Krishna from the heart. And let me make a success of my life. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki. Thank you. Fortunately, we have His Holiness Kadamba Kanana Maharaj. Hari Bol. Please don't go away too far. Anyway, it's up to you. Maharaj will take you through the next hour or so.